Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Friday, November 8th, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, Obamacare enrollees trade private info for spam. Then, the Bitcoin ATM does big bucks its opening week. And the first metal 3D printed gun. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I am getting sick of this crap. I am so sick of all this stuff. I'm so sick of people acting like idiots.
Well, Obama famously said, if you have a business, you didn't build it. Well, here's how Obama himself describes a storefront that he built.
This is like having a really good product in a store and the cash registers don't work and there aren't enough parking spots and nobody can get through the door. And so we are working overtime to get this fixed.
Well, now we know the kind of store that Obama would build. Nobody can get through the doors. There's not enough parking spots. The cash registers don't work. But what he left out was that you can get the product for five times what you were paying for it before, but he's going to force you to buy that product. That's how it works. You don't want, nothing works except force with Obama. And how's that busted store doing? Well, we found out that just one person enrolled in North Carolina. Well, not exactly, because they couldn't actually pay for it. And then that person got scammed by somebody getting his email off of the enrollment process. And then we find out that in Delaware, they had better success. They actually had four people who signed up. And that only cost Delaware $4 million with a grant from the federal government. Meanwhile, over a million people in just two other states have lost their insurance. 900,000 in California, a quarter of a million in Denver. Well, if you're president or governor and things are going bad and everybody's talking about how incompetent you are, what's the first thing you do? Well, you take credit for jobs being created. You take credit for what other people are doing, what their investments are, what the risks are that they're taking in hiring employees, especially because it's going to be so expensive with Obamacare. And that's exactly what Obama did. And the mainstream media comes to the rescue with the job reports. CNBC reports shutdown. Slowdown? No, job creation soars in October. But here's the reality about monthly job reports. Take a look at this website here, Marketplace. Here's how Marketplace shows job reports and how they evolve. The reality is that these monthly job reports are revised multiple times, just like you can see on the screen there. You have an original, then you have a revision, then you have another revision. They're totally bogus. It's nothing but spin and propaganda by the government to make people feel good about the economy. They can make the numbers go up. They can make them go down, depending on what kind of trend they want to show. And everybody forgets about the previous reports. They just go straight down the memory hole. And so people will forget about the previous month's reports. They just go straight down the memory hole. Well, if government is so corrupt, so unreformable, what are people going to do? Well, I think they're going to go around it. And we see people working on multiple ways to get around this corrupt system that can't be fixed, can't be reformed from Washington. We've got companies now that are getting out of the electrical grid. We've got large corporations that are literally unplugging from the grid. Since 2006, the number of electricity generation units at commercial and industrial sites has more than quadrupled. And they give a case study here of Kroger, talking about how they create biogas from food that's past its sell date. They said they've saved $160 million a year on electricity doing that. Walmart is using photovoltaic cells. And they said that it's still only 5% of the power generation from the utilities, but that's a very important, very profitable sector for them. And these companies are doing it because they're worried about the reliability of the grid, and they're worried about the rising costs. Costs are skyrocketing everywhere because they're shutting down coal-powered plants, and we have a very fragile infrastructure. So the question is, are you doing something for your family, for your business, to take care of these reliability and expense issues that are on, that are coming down the road? Now, also look that people are getting out of the system as far as currency goes. They're looking for an alternative way to store value, another alternative money system. And we see that increasingly with Bitcoin as well as others. The world's first Bitcoin ATM made $100,000 in just 8 days at a coffee shop. Now, the machine costs $20,000, but here's a facepalm. They actually take biometric reading of your palm. There's a lot of people that aren't going to like that because the whole point of Bitcoin is to be anonymous. And yet another company called Lamassu is going to be building Bitcoin ATMs that do not record biometric data. So people are trying to opt out in the electrical system. They're trying to opt out in the financial system, get a currency that's really going to be trustworthy. And look at this. We've got now a 3D gun printer that is actually making guns out of metal. This is a major leap forward from the plastic 3D gun printing that we've seen Cody Wilson and others do as a sample to show what could be done. We have a company here in Austin called Solid Concepts, and as a proof of concept, they have a process called DMLS, which is direct metal laser sintering. Now, sintering is creating objects out of powder, of metal, ceramic, other objects. They were able to make a metal gun, a 1911 semi-automatic pistol. So it's clear to the authoritarians that they're not going to be able to control the creation of weapons. That's part of what I believe is behind the war on ammo. But even create shortages with components like lead. We just saw that the very last factory that creates lead smelting direct from ore to finish product of lead, that's now been shut down in the U.S. due to EPA regulations. But we see all kinds of regulations about ammunition, restriction, registration, background checks, banning online sales. But if anything, this should make it clear that gun prohibition is not going to work. Just like drug prohibition has not worked. People will find a way to manufacture it, even if they have to manufacture it in their homes. And they will make much more severe versions of it than exist on the street today. If they ban guns, you're going to see a renaissance in gun design. Very potent guns. Just like we've seen the potency of drugs go up under drug prohibition. Just like we saw the potency of alcohol go up during alcohol prohibition. Well, the government is not staying still. They have their own plans. Even though we may be trying to go around them, looking for alternatives to opt out of Obamacare, looking for alternative currencies that we can trust, ways that we can get off the grid and provide ourselves reliable electricity, they've got their own plans. And we see that with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This is a major project of the New World Order, and it will create a New World Order. It will totally and fundamentally change the way this country's economic infrastructure is set up. But it's being done secretly and in private. And it's such an issue that we have organizations that are putting out a crowdsourcing call. They actually have a bounty for people to get information about this super secret negotiation that's being conducted between corporations and a few representatives of government. And yet the elected representatives, the legislators, the congressmen, the senators of all countries are not allowed to see it. A couple of them have. Here in the U.S., Ron Wyden and Alan Grayson have pushed to see it, but of course they've had a gag order put on them. They can't talk about what's there and there, and they don't know, we don't know exactly what's in there because they continue to have negotiating rounds. So whatever they saw, it's still going to change, but what they saw, they don't like. And here's what Alan Grayson characterized it.
The result will be soon evident to everybody. When the agreement does get released, you'll see massive giveaways of our sovereignty, massive efforts to undermine the middle class in this country, massive efforts to keep us from making the decisions that we need to do to make ourselves safe, to keep ourselves healthy, and to actually have the kind of life we want to have. Why? Because we've given the entire process over to special interests. It's no longer even properly called a trade agreement. It's an anti-sovereignty agreement. It has very little, if anything, to do with trade at this point. And the fact that something like this can be negotiated in secret for over 3 years, it is an indication of how far our standards have fallen. I can't remember any time earlier in our history when we would have done this. I can't remember any time earlier in our history when we'd even make an effort to say that we couldn't have amendments on the floor of the House or the Senate about something that's so crucial to the way that we conduct our lives in the future. It's wrong, and the only way to fix it is for people to stand up against it.
So just like Bilderberg and other organizations, they're conducting this massive reorganization of the entire economic infrastructure, not just our country, but all the countries, and basically putting large transnational, multinational corporations at the same level as if they were sovereign states. And it's not just that, but it's also the plans that the military-industrial complex has for us. Take a look at this RoboCop trailer. It gives us a glimpse of what is in store in our future if they get their way.
What if I told you that even the worst neighborhood in America could be made completely safe? How do I know this? Because it's happening right now in every country in the world but this one. It is great to see American machines helping to promote peace abroad.
So then tell me, why can't we use these machines here at home? Why is America so robophobic?
Well, he ends that asking, why are Americans robophobic? And of course, that's a rhetorical question. You can see that very clearly from the beginning of that trailer. Think about what they're doing. What they're showing here is that they have a fully operational robotic police force in other countries. And that's what they've been doing to us, even though Americans don't see it. You know, if tyranny was a product like an iPhone, we would have had feasibility studies like the Pentagon's been doing for 20 years. They would have had Iraq and Afghanistan as beta tests. Then we would have seen a PR campaign like we've seen actually from mainstream media in Hollywood. And then finally, we would see them stocking the shelves with the product. That's what's happening here in America with the police state as they're bringing home the equipment that they've used overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq. They're giving it to police departments. They're actually stocking it now, and they're actually putting in police who have been trained in the new kinds of techniques, these authoritarian police state tactics. So it's very obvious, and yet the public is totally oblivious to what's going on. But also notice something else about this. They're offering a solution that is a transhumanist robot. We see the same sort of thing happening in the new television show, Almost Human. We can trust those transhumanist robotic cops. Well, they offer us this good cop, bad cop show where the good cop is actually a robot. Actually, that's what Obama wants. He wants robots in the military. That's what F. Michael Maloof talked about with Alex Jones on the radio show today.
Now, Michael Maloof joins us with some just amazing research. We're so thankful he could come on. Currently, he's a senior staff writer for WorldNetDaily.com, specializing in international political and economic analysis, former senior security policy analyst for the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Maloof has almost 30 years of federal service, 23 years of which was with the U.S. Defense Department. Are they really crazy enough to try to really destroy American credibility and get rid of us and maybe just sell out to the communist Chinese or something? I mean, I just look at it and everything points towards sell out America, and the globalists have power through America. I've criticized that strategy. I don't like being that corrupt imp, but this is really bad.
And they're seeing some of these firings as being politically motivated. For example, the three generals that got canned right on the eve of right after Benghazi. The concern is that they were using the firings to deflect attention from this ongoing investigation on Benghazi, which is far from resolved. And as a consequence, there seems to be the notion of trying to hide things. We've had some CIA officers actually told, if you go up and testify, you're going to be removed from your jobs. So the intimidation is somewhat happening in the intelligence world, but it's also much more, and it's easier in the military world because these guys have to salute, take orders, and shut up.
And what is the current state of the police state? Well, Jakari Jackson has a report on what's happening here in Austin.
We know that there's a tremendous number of cameras in the private sector, and right now we're working to try to get those private cameras in public places tied into our system.
That was Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo saying that he wants to use private cameras for police use, a tactic that could be useful in a situation such as the Boston bombing, where we've never actually seen footage of the alleged bombers placing the bomb. But it's not just at outdoor events. Malls are now starting to feed directly into police systems, with monitoring occurring potentially in real time. As this system grows, will you be able to go anywhere or do anything without the watchful eye of Big Brother? But you say, it makes me feel safe. Well, how do you feel about red light and toll cameras, which in theory keep you safe but can also be used to charge you out the wazoo? Couldn't other cameras be used to crack down on victimless crimes and ordinances, many of which may be very unconstitutional to begin with? Soon, the new Xbox One will be released with a camera so advanced they can track your eye movements. So let's say the fuzz come knocking with a warrant. Can they seize the footage of you doing your Kinect yoga or anything else that's in camera shot? Just a thought. I'm Jakari Jackson, and this has been an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Well, stay tuned. After the break, we have the conclusion of our interview with Anthony Frieda. And after the program, we have several special reports for our Prison Planet TV subscribers.
Alex Jones here to warn you about some of the most important health information you may ever hear. I'm talking about radiation, radioactive fallout, radioactive particles contaminating the Northern Hemisphere. Conservatively, since the 1940s, the Northern Hemisphere of our planet has more than doubled its background radiation. In fact, that was before Fukushima exploded. Now the levels are going up and up and up. Fish are contaminated in the Pacific, and the FDA, the EPA, and others, they're not worried about it. They've been raising the levels of what they claim is safe radioactive particles. So after more than 2 years of research into how to protect my family, looking at all the literature, talking to the experts, across the board they agreed iodine is key, but of the family of iodine, nascent, natural, non-GMO, non-factory iodine that comes from the earth is absolutely paramount for your thyroid and other functions in the body. The literature, the research, it's there. It's not my opinion. It is admitted that iodine is essential for the health of our bodies overall, and nascent iodine is the best form. Now, we're announcing the launch of InfoWarsLife.com, and we're going to bring you scores of products over the next few years that we're researching and developing. But nascent iodine is the first product we're coming out with because it's so important, and it's also listed as a fluoride detoxer. It does so many other things. Your body needs it, and when you don't have enough iodine, forget the radiation, your thyroid absorbs the sodium fluoride and other things. Nascent iodine and InfoWars Life Survival Shield in double strength at half the cost of the leading competitors. Please visit InfoWarsLife.com today.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Anthony Frieda, illustrator who's done work for major mainstream organizations. We've talked to him about his political perspectives. Now we're going to talk to him about his technique and how he focused his art and his message. We've talked some about politics. Let's talk about your work, your artwork. How did you get into this? How did you come up with this style that you've got?
Well, I was, you know, very traditional kind of mainstream illustrator and artist. I mean, I always had a kind of political slant in my work just by nature and by things that were I was curious in. But I really didn't get focused until I got this assignment from the Village Voice to do it called Fakes on a Plane was the name of the story. And it was about this nascent 9/11 conspiracy movement. And they talked about Alex. So for part of the research I did for this this piece was I listened to Alex for the first time. I put him on, and it was, what is this guy talking about, you know? And I went in completely thinking, these guys are nuts, man. Inside job, false leg. What are you talking about? These were foreign phrases to me. And I'll never forget, I stayed up all night to get this assignment done, and I listened to him all night long, and he was playing clips. There was, at that time, there was a CNN, I'm not CNN, there was a C-SPAN that actually in a symposium about 9/11 truth, which is hard to believe now, but
yeah.
You remember that? They actually did that.
So you kind of got woken up by the New York Times.
I got woken up by it.
Of course, you listen to Alex. That's funny.
It was, I went in there thinking, like, your job is to make fun of these guys, you know, and I listened to them, and I'm like, wait a minute. It kind of makes sense. And then the more I listened to it, and he was backing it up with facts and experts and, you know, military guys and intelligence guys and people that knew what they were talking about and weren't insane. And it just all started clicking and making sense, and I realized, my God, I felt like I've been duped. You know, I felt like, man, I fell for this mainstream. You get conditioned to listening to the news. You listen to it, and you don't question it. Who wrote that story you're listening to? Mm-hmm. Nobody ever thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
See, Wolf Blitzer blabbering on at one of these talking heads. Who wrote that, and what was their agenda? And nobody even ever questions that.
See, that's one of the main things about journalism, isn't it? You're told that they're objective. They don't have an agenda. I think that if people say they don't have an agenda, either they're incredibly naive or incredibly dishonest.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an agenda.
Of course.
I mean, your worldview, your perspective, what you understand or believe about the world, that's going to influence even the stories that you cover. It's certainly going to influence the way you see these stories, right?
And that's fine. I mean, you're entitled to it.
Exactly.
Your own.
So I prefer to go to people that don't present themselves out there as some kind of distanced, objective source, but they've got a point of view that they're advocating.
That's
I like
right.
to see this guy over here, this guy over here, or this guy over here. See how they're advocating for their point of views. They're honest about it. They say, here's what I'm coming about. I'm passionate about this. I've researched this. This is what I believe. Instead of saying, well, I don't really have a position on the issue. They do have a position on the issue.
Well, they do. And they're the thing about when you go to Infowars.com, there's, you know, a byline, the writer, and you can research that writer and see what their point of view is, see what their perspective is, whatever their website is. It's probably, you know, pro-constitutional, liberty, anti-war perspective, which is fine. You know what you know, it's proof in the pudding there. But when you see something on the news, there is no transparency. You don't know who wrote that. It doesn't mm-hmm. say when they're reading that script who wrote it on the bottom of the screen.
Right.
It doesn't say this is a White House talking point or Pentagon mm-hmm. script. This is, you know, which is what it is.
Right.
That is unquestioningly, you know, regurgitating or reading off a teleprompter scripts that were handed to them from the State Department or from the Pentagon or from the White House. And they present it as if it's news. And what does that word even mean, news? You know, they've destroyed that whole word. It's not. The media's job is to question that propaganda.
Yes.
Not regurgitate it.
Yes.
So
but if somebody goes to a press conference and really questions the president, they are vilified and ostracized
they lose
by
access.
Their fellow. Exactly. Yeah. It's all about keeping access. So it's a self-censoring thing.
Yeah.
Because they don't want their colleagues to come after them. They don't want to be excluded from the press pool.
Yeah, the system is designed.
So what happened when you did this story for the New York Times? Did, when they wanted you to do basically a hit piece illustration on the 9/11 truther movement and you look at it and what you came up with something, how did that assignment
go? Well,
I
did this illustration. It was for Village Voice, I'm sorry, but I kind of put the puzzle pieces together, you know, in a blackboard kind of form where people are, you know, tying all the ends together. And I just kind of, which I want to do with my art, instead of being too didactic or mm-hmm. too mm-hmm. strident, which I think pushes people away, just put it out there and let people decide for themselves, you know. I'm just an artist. I don't have all the answers. I don't claim to have all the answers or to understand everything, but at the heart of what I do is asking questions and letting people decide for themselves, creating an image that makes people think
mm-hmm.
rather than makes people hate, which is so much of propaganda, state-sponsored propaganda is about, you know, if it's coming from MSNBC or Fox, it's about hating the other party. If it's coming from the government, it's about hating the new enemy. We have to, as Assad, we have to murder him. And everything.
The other, the Ausländer,
Yeah, it's all xenophobia, it's all fear-based, mm-hmm. the whole trillion-dollar, you know, war machine and you know, security state are both fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
And
tribal.
Tribalism is tearing this country apart. Partisanship is just tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
People hate, they hate people who are Democrats or Republicans. I mean, people in their own family that they love, they hate. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I see, everybody sees it. We see it
I see that happening all the way going back to the government schools and the sports programs, right? It's like every week you've got a new enemy that you have to hate because they're the other, right? It's almost like Brave New World, I'm sorry, 1984 where, you know, it's
5 minutes
this organization now, it's, exactly, 5 minutes of hate, it's called a pep rally. And then it's like next week it's a different organization that you hate.
This is a basic, very ingrained human instinct, this us or them mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been exploited and manipulated by people who are very smart, people at the top, and to, you know, further their agenda, whatever it is. They've done it since there was cavemen. I'm sure there was a cave guy saying, we got to hate these other guys and, you know, go take all their stuff, you know.
So let's talk about the censorship that you get hit with, because obviously you're doing work for these major organizations like the New Yorker, Rolling Stone, Esquire, Businessweek. What kind of things do you run into? Do they? You're trying not to be too directly advocating a particular cause, but you probably still run into issues.
Well, people see my work. Most of the people that are in a position to hire illustrators are, Democratic bent, let's say. So I do a lot of work that's critical of Obama, and it kind of ostracizes me. If I did paintings of Obama, Superman, mm-hmm. I would be lionized by them. But I'm not gonna do that. I try to be objective, and I try to call like I see it, and that whole poster that Shepard Fairey did. Mm-hmm. Where he turned Obama into a hero, almost a godlike figure. That's a classic propaganda move.
Yes.
And this guy is supposed to be an outsider artist, and he's working for the establishment to promote this. It was really, and to me, it was disgusting. And I like his work, but I think that was just a real misstep for an artist mm-hmm. to take. Mm-hmm. He was feeding into this whole propaganda machine of where either you create a hero or a villain.
Yes.
And I want to turn that, on its head, like I say, and make something that makes fun of that and make it ironic. But the other thing is millions of people have taken that hope image and did a parody of it.
Right.
So it's, everybody's done it. Anybody who has Photoshop on their computer is like, nope, and dope, and whatever they
That's
turn
right.
it into, whatever they
That's
want
right.
to turn it into.
Or I've seen them take their own heroes, like Reagan, and turn it into another propaganda piece like
it,
that.
Yeah.
They flip it that way.
It's either a hero or a villain. Mm-hmm. And I want to try to do something different. I want to try to, like, point out, that, don't fall into those traps. Like, mm-hmm. everything is not either a hero or a villain.
Well, you're looking at the issues behind it. You're not just looking at the man. That's one of the things that scared a lot of people who were not supporters of Obama, was what they perceived to be a cult of personality that was being cultivated around mm-hmm. Obama from the very first time he ran. That was very troubling. He's like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? And everybody's just, pinning, he's kind of this vague figure, and they're pinning their aspirations on him. And we've even seen a lot of his supporters who haven't necessarily distanced themselves from him coming back and saying, I thought that he stood for this, because that they were projecting onto him. They were projecting their values and their hopes on him.
Absolutely. They were projecting. He was the man in the shining armor that was going to come down and save them. And I think what I'm trying to say by pointing out his hypocrisy and failed promises and how he hasn't delivered on, he's probably pretty much 180 degrees of everything he promised to be. Believe me, I wish he was. Mm-hmm. I wish he was going to restore the Bill of Rights and,
shut
be a man of peace and shut Gitmo and stop torture and stop warrantless wiretapping and stop illegal spying on us. And,
instead of stepping things up, instead of bragging about how many people he kills with drones.
He didn't just, continue these policies. He expanded them. And he tripled the funding for the TSA.
Or the indefinite detention. I mean, there have been some people on the left, like John Kuczak comes to mind immediately, or Oliver Stone, talking about
Dennis
that.
Kucinich is,
Dennis Kucinich.
He's a Democrat you can respect, because
yes.
he's been consistent, mm-hmm. and he points out when, people are afoul of our constitutional principles and they're warmongers. He says, what are you doing,
mm-hmm.
But he's like a lone guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He should be the mainstream, but he's not.
And the sad thing is, of course, the people that are criticizing Obama the most, people like Sean Hannity, you're going to see him totally flip. If it was a Republican doing these things, he would absolutely have no problem. We've already seen him do it, exactly.
Yeah, they already did. Yeah. Listen, when where was he when Bush was taking
exactly.
away the rights?
He was praising Bush for doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was he when Bush was starting illegal wars? And, so there's hypocrisy on both sides. It's not just the left-right. And this is the folly of the left-right paradigm. And this is what Alex talks about. And this is what I try to do with my art. I did this piece called Partisans, where I show, I don't know if I can explain it in a nice way, but you see an elephant and a donkey and their posteriors. And, I can't say it.
It's one animal.
Yeah. But anyway, it's, just using imagery as a propaganda for peace and freedom is really what I'm all about.
That's a really powerful thing. Well, you do it better than anybody I know of. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Well, that's it for tonight. Don't miss any of our broadcasts. Get a subscription to Prison Planet TV. You can share that with up to 10 other people simultaneously. Help people wake up and help us keep this operation going. We'll be back weekdays at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Stay tuned after the news for more special reports. Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at Infowars.com/show.
The official story of the LAX shooting has raised more questions than it's answered. Witnesses and law enforcement initially reported the shooter was a heavy man wearing a blue TSA uniform. Witnesses also said the shooter was using a pump shotgun and changed to a pistol. Officials say it was an AR-15. No footage of the ubiquitous closed-circuit television cameras has been released. And most unbelievable, the police said he was shot in the mouth, yet told them that he acted alone and was dropped off by someone, although he can't talk now. Regardless of what happened in the LAX shooting, in the 2 weeks prior, the government was trying to suppress information that had leaked to the public. TSA internal documents reveal that in mid-2011, Homeland Security and TSA acknowledged that there was no threat to either airports or airplanes, but they lied to the public about the threat, and with threats and blackmail, stopped state legislation that would have reined in the police state. In mid-2011, the Texas House approved unanimously an anti-groping bill that would have constrained the TSA's sexual assaults and its violations of the Fourth Amendment. But the Department of Justice, with heavy lobbying by the TSA and Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, threatened to shut down all flights to and from Texas. We now learn from TSA internal documents written at the same time, the very same time, the TSA itself wrote, as of mid-2011, terrorist threat groups present in the homeland are not known to be actively plotting against civil aviation targets or airports. Instead, their focus is on fundraising, recruiting, and propagandizing. How did InfoWars get access to TSA documents marked for official use only? From a lawsuit against the TSA. The plaintiff was able to examine TSA documents, which he summarized and quoted as part of his appellate brief. The government heavily redacted the brief, but mistakenly made the unredacted version public on pacer.gov. With both a redacted and an unredacted version of the lawsuit, you can see what the government doesn't want you to see, that there was no threat against either airports or airplanes. It also reveals the TSA was fully aware that since 2007 there had only been 7 hijackings worldwide and none of them involved explosives. Over the past couple of weeks, InfoWars has interviewed the plaintiff several times and written several articles about it. And in response, the Department of Justice threatened the plaintiff, telling him he couldn't talk about the lawsuit, violating his First Amendment rights. And Pacer.gov has now removed both versions of the lawsuit. Pacer, an acronym for Public Access to Court Electronic Records, is a service of the U.S. Federal Court Service. It allows the public to see all court cases, and as of 2013, holds more than 500 million documents. In other words, you can see a half a billion court cases, all court cases, except this TSA lawsuit. The government is very afraid of the content revealed in this lawsuit. Remember that in mid-2011, a former Miss USA said she was sexually molested by the TSA at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. And in response, the TSA said this: "We wish we lived in a world where security procedures at airports weren't necessary, but that just isn't the case." That was their public lie. Internally, they wrote that they knew the procedures were not necessary. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, a man with deep ties to the CIA and Homeland Security, worked with lobbyists from the Department of Justice to threaten a blockade against Texas if the TSA was blocked from sexually assaulting travelers. Through lobbying, lies, and threats, Dewhurst and Homeland Security stopped the anti-groping bill before the Texas Senate in mid-2011. Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, TSA, and their servants like David Dewhurst will do anything. They will lie, threaten, blackmail in order to create a turnkey infrastructure for tyranny. Their documents and their actions from mid-2011 prove it. Just as the TSA said about potential threat groups, Homeland Security itself is focused on fundraising, recruiting, and propagandizing. Do you understand how you're being played? For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
I'm Gigi Araneta for Tyranny Watch on the InfoWars Nightly News. The Obamacare nightmare continues. Yes, the healthcare.gov plague is seriously spreading. John McAfee had it right when he said,
I said scrap it because it's never going to work the way it's built, so we have to throw it away and start over.
And McAfee said it was unrepairable, but yet they decided to roll it out on October 1st. And they allow anybody, it seems like, to be a navigator. Sebelius said that, yes, navigators don't need background checks.
Isn't it true that there is no federal requirement for navigators to undergo a criminal background check, even though they will receive personal, sensitive personal information from the individuals they help sign up for the Affordable Care Act?
That is true. States could add an additional background checks and other features, but it is not part of the federal requirement.
So a convicted felon could be a navigator and could acquire sensitive personal information from an individual unbeknownst to them.
That is possible.
For those who are willing to risk it, try again. One guy in Miami kept trying over a span of 30 days to get on the healthcare.gov site. He chronicled his journey with over 100 screenshots of the train wreck. On the first day, he got a screen that was meant to have him enter the answers to three different security questions that could be later used to verify his identity. But none of the drop-down list of questions had any actual text in them. He said, I gave imaginary answers to made-up questions. The system doesn't even respond in the same manner time after time, so he never knew what would happen next as he continued to try to get through the website. Ultimately, it was more expensive than the kind of insurance he has now, so that was a bust. And it's not just people having problems with healthcare.gov. In North Carolina, Blue Cross Blue Shield found the entire system so filled with glitches that the company decided not to upload data because it was afraid false information might enter their computer system. Beyond the healthcare.gov site, the scammers and crooks are out in full force. By phone and by email. Emails reveal a scammer was using the insurer's name to try to obtain personal information. A person was also making phone calls claiming to be the National Health Care Registry and falsely claiming it was taking over health care reform contracts from Blue Cross Blue Shield. The result? Only one person was able to sign up, but hasn't paid yet. That's a big fat zero in the enrollment department. I'm Gigi Araneta for Tyranny Watch on the InfoWars Nightly News.